Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. And let me see.
Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalenge. As we're about to do a story about air travel, I guess I should at least for a moment get into my pilot persona. Here we go.
Good morning and welcome aboard Flight America Weekend. I have turned off the fasten seatbelt sign, so kick back and relax, and we will begin the food service momentarily. Our first story in this segment, are you paying too much for flights?
Are you paying too much for flights? Thank you, Captain. Do you fly a lot? It is quite expensive to fly, is it not? Not only do you pay for yourself now, but you pay for your bag. Do you remember back in the day when it was just customary to bring luggage on an airplane? Well, now you have to pay for it as if it were your child. Whether you travel frequently for business or you're just looking to ditch winter weather in favor of a warmer climate or a quick getaway, there's no question that plane tickets are a significant part of the travel cost. But a study released late last month by air travel website Hopper shows that customers incorrectly estimate the cost of flights by about 50%. It can go both ways. The study of about 7,000 U.S. consumers found that people over and underestimate costs of flights, often depending upon the type of trip and destination. That uncertainty can lead to unwise purchases, Hopper suggests, because of the broad uncertainty about what a fair value is for certain tickets. A typical consumer's round-trip fare estimates can be off by about $200 or 50% above or below the actual ticket price. Even when using price-comparing sites to search for tickets, that can make it quite difficult to make sure you're getting the most value. In this study, the website surveyed 7,200 people from the Northeast, South, Midwest, and West about how much they would expect to pay for round-trip tickets to 9 destinations, including New York, Las Vegas, Florida, the Caribbean, Mexico, Europe, and Asia. The spread of estimates was large, as some people guessed that prices were $600 to $700 too low. While close to 6,000 of respondents, they talked to a lot of people, folks, guessed between $0 and $100 on some of the flights. More than 4,000 people guessed $200 to $300 too low on other destinations. The average size of error was about $200, which is about 50% of the cost of an average trip. The destination of each flight had an impact on how accurate the estimates were. On average, the study found that flights to Mexico and the Caribbean were about 30% more expensive than people expected them to be. By contrast, flights to California and Hawaii were about 10% less than expectations. In other research, Hopper found that the time frame consumers use to search for the best deals often causes the price to increase by about 4.5%. Americans normally begin their ticket search about 39 days before their departure and book 27 days before they leave. In that 12-day span, tickets often increase in price and can cost consumers an average of $10 to $15. A hint from the website, leisure markets, including Florida and Hawaii, often have more stable pricing and won't vary much as time goes on. Destinations such as Washington, D.C. and Chicago are considered business markets and will have more variability, causing prices to jump the longer you wait. Though Hopper would like you to use its site and app to do additional research, there are other options available to make sure you're getting a fair price. The Department of Transportation annually releases the average cost of traveling to major U.S. cities, with the ability to choose up to 3 destinations at a time within the country. In 2014, the average flight cost was $396.37. Here are some of the costs for major destinations around the country. Let's see. Again, the U.S. average is just under $400. Anchorage, Alaska, $497.42. Atlanta, this one shocked me how expensive it is, $439.32. Boston, $381.44. Chicago, $395. Dallas-Fort Worth, $400. Denver, $338. Honolulu, $377. Don't you think that on average that would be more expensive? The distance. It is our Pacific oasis, so to speak. $377 is not that bad. Los Angeles, $396. New York, $441. Philadelphia. Hello, Philadelphia. 436. Seattle, 377. And Washington, 394. The estimated costs are important to look at, but it's also important to keep an eye on current trends and other information. Even the Department of Transportation reports changes in airfare based on whether the city is the origin or destination. On top of the airfare itself, and when you're booking your ticket, another price factor to consider is the fees that are now becoming a la carte as airlines work to keep a lower starting ticket price. Carry-on luggage in your first checked bag used to be free for virtually every airline. So are those little peanuts. But now the number of pricing variations rival the number of airlines. Sites such as Kayak try to keep a comprehensive list of airline fees, but they warn consumers to double-check each airline's policy in case of changes. No matter where you're flying or when, the overt message is to do your research. This will normally mean doing more than just typing your destination and departure into Google Flights. Check what the going rate is for your city and search around to compare which airline will best accommodate your needs. If you plan to travel with two checked bags and your dog, you'll likely pay some extra fees no matter what. But for lighter travelers, once you know a fair base price, you should be able to find an airline that offers to cut out the extra bags. One thing I found quite interesting, you go to any of the sites, Expedia, Trivago, any of them, and type in a destination and you want a certain price. So it comes up, and if you want a nonstop flight, it is sometimes twice, if not three times as much. If you're looking to save some money, sure, they'll get you there, but they may have you fly through five time zones to get there. I remember looking at flights from New York to Cleveland. A direct flight was, I forget how much it was, we'll say, I don't know, $500. But if I wanted to pay $300, sure, I could fly out of New York, then fly to Philadelphia, fly to Charlotte, and then fly to Cleveland. All of a sudden, what would be, what, maybe an hour and a half on a plane is now going to be this 10-hour odyssey all over the eastern part of the United States. Is saving $200 really that much of a deal to you? If you have to fly out there anyway, sometimes your time is a little bit more valuable than saving that type of money. Our next story about air travel, ways to make sure you never lose your luggage again. Have you ever lost your luggage? It is quite stressful. I know you have your shirt and your pants and your underwear and everything else, but it's you get to your destination city. What do? You get a big business meeting. So you got to go out and you got to buy clothes all of a sudden. So you never want to lose your luggage. Death and taxes may be the only sure things in life, Benjamin Franklin believed. But avid travelers wouldn't hesitate to add one more thing to the list, lost luggage. It seems inevitable that at least one journey from point A to point B, your bags will end up in point C. Indeed, in the first 9 months of 2014, there were 1.6 million cases of lost, damaged, delayed, or pilfered baggage. This according to a report by the U.S. Department of Transportation. In many cases, however, it's entirely out of your hands. But here come some precautions to help ensure you'll always arrive with your bags. The first one, be bold. Watching baggage tumble onto the beltway and baggage claim, you might think they're all headed to a funeral based on the color scheme. As such, it's easy enough for your own black bag to get lost in the mix or get mistakenly picked up by someone else. Oh, this looks like my bag here. And off go your underwear with that little old lady. Make your bag hot pink and you'll see it coming a mile away. So will everyone else, and everyone will laugh. The next one, keep it personal. It's hard to lose your bags if you never let go of them. Rather than trust the direction of the conveyor belt and employee wakefulness, at check-in, learn the art of packing light, taking only a carry-on. You can roll your clothes to fit more into the bag, by the way, and a smaller bag to slip under the seat in front. What about labeling inside and out? When your bags are lost, at least they'll make it back to you sooner with secure, clear labeling inside and out. Duct tape a card with all relevant information on the inside lining while adding a permanent tag on the outside of your bag in favor of the paper one from the airline. Removing old airline tags also reduces the likelihood of bags being sent to the wrong person. Let's see. The next one, bling out. Luggage doesn't always get lost haphazardly. Depending on the value of the contents inside, it can quote-unquote get lost. Reports of theft from airport workers are commonplace. Los Angeles International Airport, for example, uncovered the largest baggage theft operation in its history in 2014. So if it's valuable, keep it in your carry-on. The next one, take a selfie. Add a selfie of your bag to your phone before kissing it goodbye at check-in. Having a digital copy close at hand gives searchers a good visual to help find it. That's a really good idea. The next one, stay aware. Keep your eyes sharp when the check-in clerk slaps a label around your bag at check-in. Make sure the three-letter airport code at the top of it matches the one in your ticket. If not, one of you is taking the long way to your destination. And the final one, tag it and bag it. The next generation of travel baggage is getting kickstarted on the web, especially the promising Trunkster. Isn't that what the Griswolds took to Wally World? Anyway, beyond just looking cool behind the sleek black zipperless facing, the bag also takes a secret agent cue with its in-house digital scale and a removable 15,000 mAh, whatever that means, battery with USB port to charge your devices along the journey. Perhaps best of all, if it loses its way, embedded GPS tracking can locate it quickly. There you go. Then you'll never lose it. Makes you never want to fly again, right, folks? Stay with us. More to come. I'm Ed Kalenge, and this is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
This all-star was a two-time runner-up in the AL MVP voting. He won three rings with the Oakland A's, and his Game 5 home run off Mike Marshall clinched the last of those titles.
One out away from the championship by the Oakland A's.
So, where is Joe Rudy now? Joe was part of one of the most famous voided transactions in history when his sale from the A's to the Red Sox was stopped in 1976. These days, Joe does the selling. He's a real estate broker in Oregon. Joe's also a ham radio operator. He competes several times a year with his friends to see who can make the most contacts in a 48-hour stretch. Joe Rudy, what a ham. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Tired of high cable bills? Disable the cable with MyTV. Get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. With packages as low as $19.99 for four rooms, you can't go wrong. 888-759-MYTV.
Order in the court.
Have you ever loaned something to a friend? This is attorney Jay Coleman with The Final Verdict. Friends Gary and Jeff planned a weekend on Gary's boat out on the lake. Unfortunately, at the last minute, Gary fell ill and tried to cancel. But Jeff wouldn't take no for an answer. So, even though Gary was aware that his friend Jeff really knew nothing about boats, he went ahead and loaned him the boat anyway. Later that day, one of Jeff's friends was badly injured on the boat and decided to sue Gary even though he was in bed at the time of the accident. So how can Gary possibly be liable? Stay tuned for the final verdict. In this case, Gary is guilty of negligence because he entrusted his boat to Jeff knowing full well that he was inexperienced and incapable of using a boat. And that's the final verdict.